In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. We're here. We finally made it to the climax of the entire church year. We celebrate our Lord Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Death itself is defeated because it could not defeat our Lord, which is, of course, the case. St. Peter preached this in Acts 2. Jesus loosed the pangs of death. It was impossible for death to hold down Jesus. The impossibility of a bodily resurrection turns into impossibility of eternal bodily death when our Lord is at the helm of this fight. We've been trekking through the church year, going on this road trip, so to speak. We've seen Jesus' birth. We've seen him appear as a king, not only for the Jewish people, but for all nations. We've seen him heal the sick, the blind, and the mute. We've heard him teach against those who didn't know who Jesus was or what he said. And now we're here. This last week, he rode into Jerusalem, had the Passover with his disciples on Maundy Thursday, was arrested, beaten, and tried as a criminal on Good Friday. He rested in the tomb on Holy Saturday, proclaiming his victory over hell itself. The third day, he rose from the grave as a guarantee and promise that he is who he says he is, and that what he's accomplished is for you. The impossibility of the resurrection and what it accomplishes all makes sense when you examine who Jesus was. He's true God, the second person of the Trinity, the Father's only Son, begotten from all eternity, not made, without beginning or end. He existed before even death itself existed. But he is also a true man, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under a historical person, Pontius Pilate. Though he's God, he humbles himself to become man, and even a servant to man, though he's unlike anyone who's ever lived. He's without sin, which is untrue for the rest of humanity. Yet death even extended to him, the only innocent man ever. So Jesus is both God and man, not a half and half hybrid. He's true God and true man, and he had to be if he was going to conquer our great enemy. If Jesus weren't true God, then his death couldn't have paid for sin. Psalm 49 verse 7 states, "No man can redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for him." That is to say, as a man, I cannot save anybody from death. I, as a man, cannot give life back to anyone. No man can do that for any other man. But Christ can. He ransoms his own life. He even said it himself, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." And since he is God, his death is greater than all punishment of sin, demonstrating his great love for us. But Jesus can't just be God to pay for our sins. He had to be man. He had to have blood so that it could be shed. Without bloodshed, there can be no forgiveness. There cannot be an Easter without a Good Friday. Without God's wrath being poured out on sin through Jesus, then God's wrath still remains. And we would need to answer for our own sin. But through the blood of Christ, our sins have already been punished and paid for. God's wrath is satisfied. All because Christ gave his life as a substitute for us. He gave his blood on the cross so that our blood didn't need to be shed. He is our substitute. He is our Passover lamb. He is the righteousness of God who suffered for the unrighteous, that we may be brought back into communion with God. Even though we've heard this message 1,000 times as Christians, we may still find ourselves asking a few questions. First, why did Jesus do all this for you? Well, he didn't do it for himself, as if he's showing off. He did it for you. He did it to save you. You can't pay for your own sins by any amount of charity, prayers, fasting, tithes, or living a good moral life. You can't pay for it with your own life or the way you live. And you certainly can't pay for sin and satisfy God's wrath the way Jesus did, with your own righteous, God-pleasing death, because it's your sin that puts you in the grave in the first place. Thanks be to God for Christ, who is stronger than your sin-riddled life and death. The other question you may find yourselves asking is this: but what good is all this for you? What good is the resurrection for me now? The benefits of the resurrection seem to be far off for Christians. For example, I'm 27 years old. Since death doesn't seem imminent for me, I don't need to be thinking about the resurrection now, do I? That may be true in some sense. Some benefits of the resurrection are far off. But the resurrection bears effect on you and me now. You live the resurrected life now. N.T. Wright is quoted in his book Surprised by Hope to say, "The message of Easter is that God's new world has been unveiled in Jesus Christ, and that you're now invited to belong to it. Christian holiness consists not of trying as hard as we can to be good, but of learning to live in the new world created by Easter. That's the joy of Easter. By Christ's triumphant victory over death, we learn what it now means to be called Christian in this world. Because as soon as water is splashed upon us and we receive our God's name upon our foreheads and hearts, our lives will never be the same as we continually learn what living a resurrected life means now." Does guilt and anxiety over your sin trouble you? Do some temptations of the flesh never seem to go away? Do some sins of yours seem far from God's forgiveness? That kind of talk comes from Satan, whom Jesus conquered. He's trying hard to convince you that you exist outside of Christ's resurrection. In other words, that Christ didn't pay for your sin. Don't fall prey to that. Jesus is a greater Savior than you are a sinner. He nailed our sin to the cross on Good Friday, and Easter guarantees you that Jesus is who he says he is, and that your sin is truly forgiven. And because your sin is forgiven, your death is nothing to fear. Look at Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:53, when he says, "When our mortal bodies will put on immortality, the grave is mocked. O grave, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" So that nothing can threaten or strike fear into you. not the world and its attempts to strike fear into your life, not the coronavirus and its attempt to make you question God's care for your life, not death itself because Christ has conquered death, not your sin and its punishment because Christ has paid the price, not even hell itself because Christ has descended into its depths and still came out of it and resurrected from the grave. So you see, there's nothing to threaten you or cause you fear, because Christ has overcome it all and is greater than it all. That's what living the resurrection now is all about. That's why we celebrate Easter today, because Easter declares that you live forever with your Savior, and that forever includes today. Praise be to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who prizes us to be more precious than gold and jewels, who loves us to the point of suffering and death, who gives us this victory and the sacrament at this altar, so that not only may we be continually reminded of our Lord's passion for us, but so that we may also continually receive this Easter victory. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.